Now let's look a little bit at the elements of faith. Cognitio, assensus, and fiducia. Knowledge, assent, and trust. According to Scripture, saving faith is comprised of three constituent elements. B.B. Warfield explains, "We cannot be said to believe or to trust in a thing or person of which we have no knowledge. Of course, we cannot be said to believe or to trust the thing or person to whose worthiness of our belief or trust assent has not been obtained. And equally, we cannot be said to believe that which we distrust too much to commit ourselves to it." So you need these three things. First of all, you need knowledge. Faith is dependent on what can be known about God. In fact, in the New Testament, faith involves us in coming to a knowledge of God Himself. This is life eternal, that we may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. No one has ever seen God, but God, the God the Son, who is at the Father's side, has made Him known. John 1:18 says, "The word which is used in the original is the root from which we get the word exegesis, the explanation, exposition of Scripture." So what John is saying is that Jesus is the exegesis of God. Jesus makes God clearly known to us. And you find that same kind of thought in Matthew 11, verse 27. "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father." And then here, "Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Matthew 11:27. So the revelation of the Father by the Son to the disciples through faith brings them to the knowledge of God. So knowledge is fundamental, you see. All trust, all assent depends on knowledge. You can't love someone you don't know. Unknown is unloved. And the beauty about God, you see, is when we truly come to know Him, He's so lovable that we cannot help but love Him. Of God we can say, and of no one else we can say, to know Him is to love Him. So this knowledge is a personal knowledge, isn't it? It's a savory knowledge. It's an intimate knowledge. It coincides with the scriptural terminology for the word to know, that knowing is an intimate thing. In fact, Scripture uses it even of the act of intercourse. Adam knew his wife, Eve, and she conceived and bare a son. That wasn't just the Bible's attempt to get out of using the word intercourse. The Bible never, Song of Solomon, never tries to skirt around intimate language. But this is the real word that was used for intercourse in that time. This intimate knowing. And you see, this is the kind of thing that faith knows. It has an intimate knowledge of God. There's a personal relationship. There's personal fellowship. Hoeksema, when he explains this, uses the example of a dietitian who has cancer and another man who has no cancer. And I always say they're eating pizza because I forget to remember what he said they were eating. But anyway, they're eating pizza in my illustration. And the dietitian looks at the pizza, and he can describe it, but he can't eat it because of his stomach problems. He doesn't really know that pizza, does he? Well, he describes it. He can write an essay on it, but he hasn't tasted it. He hasn't digested it. And the other man may just know that it's you know, cheese and sausage on there, and that's about all he knows. He knows something, but he tastes it. He digests it. He gets the benefit of it. So even if we have little knowledge, it's the kind of knowledge here that we have in mind. You see, Calvin said this is an experiential knowledge. Faith is an amen knowledge, Calvin said, that rests upon the Word of God as well as the proclamation of the gospel. Now, if you notice, going back to the Catechism, question 21 says, "True faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but also an assured confidence," etc. There's an ambiguity here. Is that knowledge here in the Catechism a kind of saving knowledge? Or is it just historical knowledge plus saving trust or saving confidence? And when you read Ursinus, much to my disappointment, you cannot but conclude that he has in mind that faith is a historical knowledge plus saving trust. Now let me read that again. Think of it as historical knowledge. True faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed us in His Word. That sounds like a definition of historical knowledge. So you can see that's what Ursinus meant, and his commentary bears that out. However, Olivianus followed Calvin and said, faith is saving knowledge and saving trust. And Olivianus took this up in a saving way, putting the focus on the word certain. True faith is not only a certain knowledge. So there's always been a debate, especially in Dutch circles, about what question 21 really means. And I wrote an article in the Calvin Theological Journal in which I took this up, this debate up, and I believe that if we're being true to Ursinus, we have to admit, much to our chagrin, that he meant historical knowledge here. But that doesn't forbid us from preaching it as saving knowledge. And often when I preach it, I mention that this is what Ursinus meant, but we believe more with Calvin that it means a saving knowledge. Assent, which of course means agreement in more modern terminology, but assensus means believing and adhering to the truth about Christ as well as agreeing with who He is and who we are in relation to Him. Now you notice that in the Heidelberg Catechism definition, assensus is not even taken up at all. Only later on in the Puritan era did assent come to be regarded as one of the constituent elements. And our forefathers looked at definitions like this in the Catechism and said, well, assent is collapsed into one of the other two. But it's good that we today stress the assent element as well. Because without this wholehearted agreement from the soul with who Christ is and what the gospel is and who I am, without this agreement, a fundamental part of faith is often not spoken about. Faith is not just a tasting and a digesting of these wonderful truths of God's Word, but it's also wholeheartedly concurring with them. Like the story I just read to you of the Canaanite woman, truth, Lord, I'm a dog. And truth, Lord, I agree with who Thou art. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. There's an element of concurrence, an element of acquiescence, an element of delight in truth that says amen from the heart and agrees with all that God says. Now that sounds close maybe to Calvin's usage of knowledge, and it is. So there is a legitimate way of presenting faith simply as knowledge plus trust, providing you stress under knowledge, this wholehearted agreement or assensus. And then what's usually considered the major, most critical element of faith is the element of trust, often called confidence, as in the Catechism. Trust in Christ, fiducia. And here, all our forefathers are agreed on the essential meaning of trust, that it involves a surrendering of the entire person to the Lord Jesus Christ. The mind, the will, the soul. Fiducia doesn't mean simply trusting something for a moment or trusting it only objectively, but it means a trust that involves my whole life, my whole thinking, my thinking patterns. It involves everything. In Jesus' language, it involves carrying the cross, following me. It's not just something that you trust in your mind. It's something that impacts your daily walk of life. So when I trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, all my reliance for pardon and for cleansing, I transfer from my own resources and cognitively, affectively, and volitionally, so with my mind, my affections, and my will, I transfer all that reliance to Christ. And I completely abandon my reliance unto Him. I totally abandon myself to Him, and I joyfully receive Him and rest upon Him alone for salvation. Now, this faith is then a turning to Christ. It's a going to Christ. It's a directional faith. It's a dynamic faith. It's a mobile faith. It's a faith in Christ. doesn't just look to him. It's in him. It's a faith into Christ, as the New Testament often puts it. It's a faith upon Christ. It's a leaning grace. It's a wrapping grace. Faith wraps, as it were, the Savior. It embraces him. Luther said it so well, didn't he? He said, faith is the ring that embraces Christ as its diamond. Then I trust God. Faith trusts God as its Father. It trusts Christ as a flock trusts its shepherd. It trusts Christ as we trust a physician. So this then is the sure mark of the man of faith. He knows Christ, he agrees with Christ, and he trusts Christ alone as Savior. He clings to Christ and commits himself only to Christ.